Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Meltdowns, desk slamming, angry outbursts and belittling team members in front of colleagues. Anyone who has experience of the workplace has likely encountered an angry boss at some stage. But how can you effectively manage upward? And more importantly, how do you leave those workplace tensions at the office and not bring them home? Well, Patricia Murray is here, workplace psychologist, formerly with the Health and Safety Authority. Patricia, good to see you. Who are we talking about here when we're talking about angry bosses? What is the stereotype description?
Stereotypes I try to avoid, but I suppose the stereotype, first of all, we've already said, is a boss. So someone who already has power and someone who carries a lot of weight on their shoulders or believes they do, and maybe they do. And often they're in jobs that are quite busy and juggling a good few things. Now, predictors of aggressive behaviour often come from the person themselves and their background rather than the job. But there are a few job predictors, like being very busy, juggling a lot of things, having a good few people to manage, and being, to be honest, out of their depth.
Mm-hmm. So which makes you wonder how they got to the position of power in the first place.
Exactly. And often they got to the position of power through a mixture of things, being good at something. Let's be honest, we can't tar them with the brush of being bad at everything. They're bad at human relations if they're shouting and swearing at people they work with. But they might be very good engineers or doctors or lawyers or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But they're just not used to dealing with their own frustrations. One of the real things we look at when we look at people who are successful, psychological literature says, whether they're successful in terms of gaining money or just being happy, is having good insight into their own emotions and being good at managing and processing their own emotions. So yep. Not delivering the emotion onto
Trisha,
others.
Can it be the case that somebody who rules with an iron fist can be seen as somebody who's good at getting things done?
Of course. I mean, I have a lot of examples, I suppose, in the public and political sphere at the moment of some of those characters. And they can be seen as. And of course, it's quite reflective. Again, it's nuanced because in society then tells those people, you're powerful, you're getting things done. And they then tell society, I'm powerful, I'm getting things done. And they interpret the reason I get things done is because I'm tough. I'm like this. And they almost see, they narrate it as, I'm like this because this makes me able. Mm-hmm. It makes me capable. And those of you who don't, as they might say, talk straight, you don't really quite have what I've got. And a lot of these people think they're like man of the people or woman of the people, and they speak the truth. And it's just, they kind of reframe it as authentic and real and upfront, when really it's rude and aggressive and malignant.
Yeah.
And shouldn't be tolerated.
And it's horrible to be in the presence of that person and to be working for them. So how do you deal with it if that's your boss?
It's a difficult one. And I've seen it both in my previous job and in certain work I do now. Out there, like in companies, and you know, it's very difficult for HR people. Like, I've had HR people saying, we'd like to do something, but like the management here won't do it because this person is very good at X or Y or Z and bottom line stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've actually seen emails from senior managers to each other acknowledging that they know this, but still, what can we do? So I think really what you have to look at is, first of all, the people who are working for these people are very exposed, and they're exposed to a hazard. So you have to do something to minimise it. Either A, you're going to encourage general training on proper behaviour, and this might nudge them. Or else you're going to encourage coaching and say, we're going to actually call this out, Pat or Mick or whatever. The behaviour isn't acceptable. I heard you shouting like that. OK, always maybe once off you can let something go, but it's not acceptable here. We're going to get you coaching or mentoring. And that can do something. But ultimately, the social norm that's established in a workplace either reinforces and allows certain behaviours or it extinguishes it. Mm-hmm. And we know from research as well that a person might be predisposed towards a behaviour. They might get away with it in a previous job and at home. But if suddenly it's not accepted, and even by what people do, even how they look, if someone looks at them astonished, moves away, talks to somebody else and just says, oh, OK, and says something, they might realise, oops, I've misstepped here. And that's good too. So social norms allow people or else stop people doing things. Mm-hmm.
And for somebody, again, who's working for someone like that, it can be really difficult day to day if you're facing that every day in the office, and really difficult not to bring it home with you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Surely there must come a time where you would be advising somebody, look, the best option for you here is to get out.
There have been times where that would be the case. And colleagues of mine who work in career coaching would tell me the same thing, psychologists who work in different areas to myself. And in the end of the day, you have to say to yourself, what's best for this person? If they're really struggling, you would end up saying, look, either look elsewhere in the company, or if you've, as often happens, people lose faith in that company and they therefore want to just not be part of the company, which is unfortunate for the company.
Mm-hmm.
So you say move on, which is really difficult. And companies out there listening, you know, take heed, keep an eye out. And if you see something, easier to nip it in the bud early than have people leave. And a contagion effects then, yeah, when people leave when there's even nothing going on.
But if you are trying to manage this upward and trying to let it be known that this person is not behaving appropriately, what are your top tips in terms of having meetings and interactions with that person?
Yeah, I would always think try and have two people there if you can, without making it obvious to the person. Keep the door open if you can. These people often say they've open door policies, and they often then bring everyone to lunch a few weeks later. They do nice things afterwards to make up for it, but no one ever names it. So it's always good to name it in a nicer way. Oh, I was a bit nervous there last week. I thought something must have happened to you. And then move on to something else. So you've kind of brought it up without making them answer for it.
Mm-hmm.
Have two people there. Discuss it with a few colleagues and see what they think in a nice enough way. And then if you need to go to HR and say, I'm telling you something here because I think it's bad for X or Y. Be very careful of new recruits too. Because I had somebody who was behaving in an aggressive way. A new recruit was afraid. And when I broached with the person, I said, you know, this has happened. They were mortified and said, I feel so embarrassed. I was actually a nervous pupil in school. And the last thing I want is for a new recruit to feel nervous of me. The gang here all know me and they know I do this and I don't mean it. And I had to say, it's not really like that anymore. You can't really do it.
That's a warning sign if someone's saying that everyone knows what I'm like and they accept it.
Yeah. And the thing is, we can't make all of these people bad people. I mean, people can be good people and behave badly. And what you have to do in a workplace is call them to task.
Yeah.
And say, you know, you probably don't mean it. I'm sure you don't realise the effects, but these are some of the effects. So this is your chance to change it. And we'll give you a bit of a hand and we'll come back to you in a month. And, you know, assume the best.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. There's no doubt about it. Patricia, yeah, thanks so much for coming in. Patricia thanks. Murray there, workplace psychologist. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.